The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. We are down to the nitty-gritty here. Three games left in the season. All the coaches have been hired. We're moving along through the off-season, where the mid-season, post-season process, and we are headed... Okay, go ahead. And we are heading towards the Super Bowl. Exciting times. We will be in South Beach doing a bunch of shows from, I guess, Radio Row. We don't know the details, but we'll all be together. The Super Friends will be down there. We'll have lots of people popping on to give analysis, picks, everything you possibly need for the Super Bowl. So make sure, rate, review, subscribe. There's multiple recaps from the divisional round in your feed. Check those out, as well as an emergency Kevin Stefanski Hired by the Browns podcast if you're itching for coaching information. Of course, maybe you want that and you can get it right here because we got Jonathan Jones on the show to talk winners and losers. JJ, what's happening? He said, trying to say what's up and what's happening at the same time.
What's going on, buddy? Yeah, man, I just got back from, I was in San Francisco doing Niners for the week.
When are you moving to San Francisco?
I am not. I think that you've heard this, but rent prices are just ridiculous out there.
They are.
But I will be back out there this week to cover them and that game, the NFC title game, Niners-Packers. But, yeah, happy to be back in the confines of Charlotte.
And Charlotte is a place that we're going to discuss because Charlotte has a new coach, Matt Rhule. It's a shame, JJ, that Matt Rhule didn't go to New York because the headlines for like overruled, but they did get Joe Judge. So that works out well for us. Let's, we're going to do winners and losers style on these coaching searches. And I think that as we, rip through those and give out our winners and losers, that I believe that we will encompass everybody within the coaching search. There are only five. This is a short coaching cycle. Is that bizarre?
Sure is. I think they got, everyone was trigger happy last year. I think that they realized that going after the next Sean McVay was not going to be the best course of action. But then there is still just that bad taste in your mouth about retreads. And so while Rivera and McCarthy got hired, understanding that they are second time head coaches, I think that one, because they didn't want to do the whole next McVay thing. And then two, there's just a general distaste for retreads that most people just said, all right, maybe the grass won't be greener on the other side.
You know, it's weird though. I feel like the young offensive mind definitely calls him it's like, whoa, somebody hired Zach Taylor. It's like, this has gone too far. This is a problem. Right. But like, I hate to break, Matt LaFleur is in the conference championship game. You know?
Yeah. It certainly has worked out there, but yeah, I do think that they certainly went too far with Zach Taylor, and the jury for me is still out on a Cliff Kingsbury necessarily. But like, yeah, I think Matt LaFleur had enough in his resume to warrant the job from the jump, right?
Yeah. And I also think the other thing that was a clear cut focus of this coaching search was CEO types. Like if I was picking a theme, that's what I would put on this, is like guys who either have experience as a head coach and running an organization as like a CEO type, or guys who, you know, come from, like, Matt Rhule is not an offensive defensive specialist. He comes, you know, he's like, he's a program builder. Joe Judge is not a offensive or defensive guy. Special teams, he focuses on all areas. You know, like, it's just stuff. It's basically like Freddie Kitchens got the keys to a car and went driving off a turnpike and everybody panicked. And then ironically, the Browns are the only ones who hire an offensive coordinator in Kevin Stefanski. Anyway, let's get to the winners and losers. Who do you have as your first winner?
My first winner from this cycle, actually, the Dallas Cowboys.
Mm.
Listen, I think my eyes started glazing over after the fourth or so media story or media outlet did the Mike McCarthy. It has changed as a head coach and he's going to lean into analytics. Right. Okay. I heard it. I got it. And listen, honestly, all of that stuff and meeting people and flying up coaches into a barn in Green Bay, Wisconsin, all this stuff, it won't mean a hill of beans if on third and three from the 40, you decide that, you know, no matter what, I'm punting after this. Like, mm-hmm. I still need to see it in action. And obviously, we're not going to do that until he gets another opportunity, but you can talk until you're blue in the face about analytics or the computer folks that you've hired or the big analytics guy that you spoke with, right, Dave Gettleman? But until it happens, you know, are you still going to revert back to your old ways? All of those things said, I do think that he has learned a little bit. I do think that because the narrative on him and Aaron Rodgers and their working relationship took up so much oxygen about the Green Bay Packers and about Mike McCarthy that he was lessened as a head coach. But he even said, like, I think I'm a pretty good head coach before he got fired. And I agree with him. And I think the Cowboys made the best coaching decision that they could have made. I thought that he was the best fit for them. And so now he gets to work with Dak Prescott. It's a really good marriage all the way around for me.
Okay, I got some questions about this. I tend to agree with you, though. Like, I think sort of lost in this analytics revolution, and like I'm pro analytics and I'm pro nerd and I like dorking out on stats, but I think a little bit lost in this analytics revolution, and maybe this is the old man in me coming out, is the fact that, like, for instance, Bill O'Brien. I think that Bill O'Brien is a giant wuss bag when it comes to operating on fourth and short in situations like that. However, he's a really good football coach. Like Pete Carroll, do I agree with his offensive philosophy and how he approaches trying to establish the run and not letting Russell Wilson cook and punting on fourth and short in his opponent's territory? Of course not. I think it's surprisingly cowardly for a man of his age and his enthusiasm. And yet Pete Carroll is a very good football coach. The same thing with Mike McCarthy. I tend to think that what happened to Mike McCarthy more than anything is and Aaron Rodgers is from 2013 to 2015, they suffered three straight walk-off playoff losses. And then Aaron Rodgers started dealing with some injuries and it just took its toll on everybody. And it was like Andy Reid at the end of his run in Philly. Like it was just time to get out. It was time for a reboot, or even Ron Rivera at his time in Carolina. Like it was just time. You know what I mean? Like that's how it felt to me in Green Bay. Jerry Jones doesn't care for in-game analytics. He said that. They asked him about Jason Garrett going forward on fourth. He's like, I think that's dust overblown. So, like, I have no reason to believe Mike McCarthy is going to magically start going forward on fourth now.
I don't think so either. I do believe in him as a quarterback. I don't want to say whisper. I feel like such a doofus saying something like that.
No, but that's fine. That's a fine. Yeah. He developed Aaron Rodgers. That's fine. He developed Matt Flynn into a free agent monster.
That's right. And, like, that their relationship soured like a lot of relationships after – you know, some time in the NFL for me, it usually takes like 2 years with a girl and eventually that's it. And so for them, it took like 10 years. Okay. Now he can like get with Dak Prescott and hopefully for the Dallas Cowboys and for Mike McCarthy and Dak, like they can have a great 8 of the 10 years and then everything sours and then they go their separate ways.
You're like, you're like Debo's tweet about Mitchell Trubisky. Did you ever see that one? I don't know. Maybe you don't follow Debo on Twitter. This is awkward, but, Debo tweeted about, when Mitchell Trubisky in that Lions Thanksgiving game, when Trubisky's running for the first down and then just like does a hard left. He's like, that line is commitment and I am Mitchell Trubisky. Like it's just dead 90 degree turn away from commitment. It was a very good tweet. But yeah, look, that's, smart on you for the 2 year thing. Good for you. That's wise. I respect that.
I agree. Hope to break that. I think I am going to break that, but that's my past. I'm not going to get into that. You're not going to be my Dr. Phil here, but
Dr. Phil on you. I'm telling you to keep riding the 2-year thing as long as you can. Don't make any rash decisions. I'm getting grief for being an AWOL parent during the NFL playoffs. Like, this is my damn job. Anyway, so
he's too parent like Antonio Brown.
Seriously, what a freaky creep. The thing with the, like, do you think the Cowboys will be the best team in the NFC East in 2020,
the best team in the NFC. Yes, because they're the most talented. But not just because they are the most talented. I like their head coach. I did think that Doug Peterson got more out of less than a lot of people, at least certainly in the NFC East and down the stretch. I still like the Cowboys. I still like Chris Richard, who, you know, should just be given the defensive coordinator title and be done with it. I think no doubt they should be the favorites in the NFC East.
Do we know who the offensive coordinator is yet? Did I miss that? I don't think we do, right? Because Kellen Moore deciding? Is he decided? He's listed on the website as offensive coordinator.
I don't know if it has yet been decided, but I think that he will remain there. The question, of course, is going to be who's going to call the plays.
Right. Mike McCarthy said many years ago, I guess not many, like 3 or 4 years ago, after giving up play calls for some period of time and the offense struggling, he said, I'm never doing that again. And yeah, he's a good play caller.
That's right. And he knows how to manage it in the game as well. A lot of these coaches can't do both, and they think that they can and they cannot. Yeah. Mike McCarthy proved time and again that he was able to be a head coach and be a play caller.
Right. And that's what undid Freddie Kitchens, is trying to call plays and trying to manage the game at the same time. It's really hard to do. I agree with you. I think Kellen Moore, provided that it's not a forced marriage and that Kellen Moore is okay not calling plays, makes a lot of sense. You got Kitna as the quarterback's coach, assuming he stays. Kellen Moore has a lot of – is Kitna out? Did I miss that? Okay, never mind. Kitna's out. All right. Well, update your website, Cowboys. What are you doing? You got Jimmy Johnson on here as the head coach. What the hell? Seriously, though, update your actually, you know what? They haven't done anything with it because Rod Marinelli is still the defensive coordinator. Okay. Anyway, whatever. Kitna's not there. Who cares? Who gives a crap? Kellen Moore, quarterback's coach / offensive coordinator kind of blend. Like, he can work with Dak. He knows how to talk to Dak. I like the idea there. And I think he and McCarthy can help blend, you know, sort of their offensive philosophies. And Kellen Moore likes to use motion, likes to use bunch stuff. Mike McCarthy has not always done that. I would presume that he's going to do that moving forward. And, like, the Cowboys could shift into a loser if you get 2016 to 2018 McCarthy, right? I mean, that's how it goes south. But if you get 2011 to 2015 McCarthy, then you hit the home run of the hiring cycle. I also think he has the highest floor. I will say that one winner in this cycle, and mine are sort of related to retain. My winners are related to retaining people. I'm going to say Tom Brady is a winner here. So I think Tom Brady
usually he wins a lot. That you are giving him this title, you know, where is he going to stick that?
Well, I mean, if there's room, I could make a ring. I could build a plaque that's like Brinson's 2020 coaching search winner. Like third runner up, and he could slide it right between like one of his MVP trophies. And, was he only have one MVP? He has more than one.
Right? No, he has two. 07 and 10, I believe. That's right. No. And then he wanted, he might even have three, but anyway.
No, he's got two because Matt Ryan beat him out and then he beat Ryan in the Super Bowl. Hmm. Yeah, you could slide that. Look, that's a perfect. You got two little bookends. MVP, Brinson coaching search winner, MVP. It fits perfectly.
I think that we'll find that plaque in a Boston area Goodwill about 2 weeks later.
Giselle's going to throw it out the window. What is this piece of paper mache? Anyway, Tom Brady, here's the deal. Tom Brady and JJ has a good piece that you can check out on Twitter.com. J Jones, is it J Jones 9?
J Jones 9.
J Jones 9 that you did for Tops. Breaking down how Tom Brady's decision this offseason will impact what happens, cascading after effects of the free agent market, yada, yada. I think Tom Brady wants to come back to New England, and he'll come back. He won in 2017. So he has three, Debo?
Yeah, he has three. He has three. He won in 07 and 10 and then in 17 when he was the oldest MVP winner.
as anyone who's listened to this podcast for the last 48 hours knows, I'm just throwing facts away and just trying to muscle through the next 48 hours of Clemson winning another national title.
It's about to happen.
Oh yeah, yeah, it is about to happen. It actually already happened when people were listening. Anyway, I'm on a lot of coffee today. So Tom Brady is a winner because I think he wants to come back to New England. I think Bill Belichick is undecided about what he wants to do. But to me, being able to retain Josh McDaniels and keep that continuity, McDaniels at some point is going to fly the coop, right? But being able to retain him this year, you lose Joe Judge. Jason Lockenfor reported they pushed Joe Judge towards New York. Being able to retain him, JJ, signals to me that Belichick is more likely to bring Tom Brady back to New England in 2020 than we might have thought otherwise.
Well, I think, honestly, and this is something that I've been paying very close attention to since he redid his contract. I think Josh McDaniels being there is another point in the column of come back to New England. I don't know. I think with Tom Brady, it is about he wants not just another year contract around $23 to $25 million. He wants to be paid like the top quarterback in the league or a top three quarterback in the league. But then he also, I think, he keeps saying, I want to play to 45. Well, he's going to be 43 now, so let's do the math. I need a 2 to 3 year contract. I can't keep doing this 1 year or 1+1 and all this stuff. Like, that's not going to happen. And so if the Patriots are not willing to offer him some sort of quote unquote long-term security, as much as a 2 or 3 year contract is long-term, I don't think that he wants to do that. I think that he wants to be somewhere where they say, you know what, Tom, we're not just taking a chance on you. We're not just doing this year to year. You are the greatest quarterback of all time, and we're going to give you a contract that lets you play until the age that you want to play at. And so if the Patriots don't offer him that, I do think that he takes very seriously one of what could be a dozen to 15 teams that come to him and say, hey, absolutely. Peyton Manning had 12 suitors in 2012 when he had the Frankenstein monster neck and a noodle arm.
Were you covering the NFL in 2012?
Yes.
Yeah. I thought you were. I just couldn't. It's been a long time. Like, that was the wildest offseason ever. Like,
and this one will outdo it.
And like submarines meeting with Pete Carroll. Like, it was crazy stuff. Like, you didn't know where the hell he was going to go.
And this would be even crazier. And this is not something that I got into on the pregame show on Sunday, but whereas Peyton Manning was hanging out at Duke and he had a liaison with David Cutcliffe, his agent is known to sort of speak with the media, where Peyton has very strong relationships with a lot of members of the media. Tom Brady has like issued a notice to his father to stop talking about him.
Yeah.
You know,
he refused to do post game interviews even on primetime for a full year after the Deflategate.
Right. And so we're going to know less about Tom Brady's movements and what he wants to do. And there are going to be more teams that want him because they're going to say 2 to 3 years to get 1 to 2 conference championships and maybe a Super Bowl. Hell yeah, I'm going to do that. So it's going to be even crazier than Peyton Manning in 2012.
Yeah, and don't forget that a team like the Chargers or the Raiders may want to just boost their stature in the community as it relates to ticket sales and sort of, you know, you're in a new market or you're in a market where you struggle to get a foothold. If the Chargers added Tom Brady, they would get a foothold.
Absolutely. And people are also going to look at this and they're going to say, oh, let's do he couldn't go to this team because they already have a quarterback, right? A Derek Carr. The same thing with Indianapolis. You think that Indianapolis wouldn't say, okay, sorry, Jacoby, we're going after Tom Brady. And so it's not just simply like, okay, Cincinnati's taking Joe Burrow. What's Carolina going to do? No, teams with quarterbacks who could be the week one starter today would very much say, yeah, we're going after Tom.
Yeah. All right, give me another winner on your list.
Another winner is Washington, the Washington National Football Team, getting not only Ron Rivera, whom I respect as a head coach and as a man, but getting a number of very quality folks in the front office. Rob Rogers is going to be the cap guy up there. Ryan Vermillion is going to be the head athletic trainer, both of them coming from Carolina. And then, obviously, listen, I don't believe in Dan Snyder. I do not at all. But it does appear that he is willing to take a hands-off approach. Again, very similar to Mike McCarthy. I'm going to believe it when I see it. But he has made a very good hire here. It appears that he's letting football people do football things. Bruce Allen wasn't given some plum job somewhere else in the organization, but away from football, but he would still kind of have his hands in it. He's made what I, presume to be a clean sweep and is starting over and is saying, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm going to let the people that I pay to do this actually do it. And so I think that Washington is a winner.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think to just like extend it, I think Redskins fans are big winners because it looked like that was, I cannot imagine a worse situation to be rooting for a professional sports team than to know that your owner is buddies with this GM who just doesn't care. You have a dilapidated stadium situation. You have like, I don't want to speak bad about the trainer there, but like you look at adjusted games lost on Football Outsiders year to year, injuries are a luck type of thing. They even out. Like if you're bottom five in the league in injuries in games lost to injury, in 2019, there's a decent chance you'll be top five in 2020. Like that luck tends to just, gravitate towards the mean. The Redskins have been bottom five for the last 6 years. Like that's not luck. You have a bad training staff in all likelihood.
Yeah.
Right. Like I don't want to disparage this like licensed medical professional who's been employed by the Redskins for 18 years and is now fired, but bringing Ryan Vermilion in there, who is one of the better trainers in the league in terms of how he manages players. He's very conservative about taking care of players. You had the Trent Williams fiasco. They're probably going to get Trent Williams back in the fold now. And
that's right.
I agree with you. Ron Rivera at the very worst will, if Dan Snyder keeps his hands off, and I don't know that there's a guarantee of past like 2 years that he'll do it. But if he does, Ron Rivera at the very least will build a baseline of culture and reestablish the Redskins like moving forward. And maybe it's not Ron who takes that big leap in terms of winning a ton of games, but I think he will build a very nice foundation there. So I agree with you completely. I will take Kyle.
As your next winner.
Oh, yes, as my next winner. Unless you want to add to Rivera, by all means, go ahead.
No, not at all. Who is your next winner?
I'm going to take a former Washington Redskins coach, Kyle Shanahan, the current San Francisco 49ers head coach. He is... was not up for another job. Although I think the Redskins are fine with Rivera, but man, wouldn't the Browns let him walk? The Redskins fired him. The Falcons let him walk and kept Dan Quinn. I don't know. Maybe more people should have.
Maybe the Browns should have picked him over Johnny Manziel.
Yeah. Or even Mike Pettine. Have you seen I didn't realize that Adam Lefko had tweeted out in like 2018, but there's this clip of like Mike Pettine calls a play and like is trash talking Kyle Shanahan, and Kyle Shanahan like makes this like face, like it's like a total FU face on the sidelines as his coordinator. That makes me think the Niners are going to blast the Packers.
Yeah. Yep. Probably
just out of spite. But Shanahan, his top coordinator, his top defensive coordinator, Robert Saleh, who's gotten more FaceTime on national television than freaking Tom Brady this year.
But not more FaceTime than JJ Watt.
That's true. Not more than JJ Watt. JJ Watt does get a lot of FaceTime. Saleh is not leaving because the Browns picked Kevin Stefanski over him. And to me, that is a big, big win for the 49ers. Now, we can debate the merits of whether or not they should have taken Robert Saleh and why Robert Saleh and somebody like an Eric Bieniemy didn't get more interviews. And I think they should have. But for the 49ers to be able to keep Robert Saleh in place for 2020, I mean, you got a bunch of guys under contract. You have a bunch of young talent. There's no reason to think that this defense is going to drop off next year.
No, you don't. They have fantastic personnel, and not to say that some robot can do Robert Saleh's job, because that is not at all it. You cannot. Some robot can't hold the Minnesota Vikings to 7 first downs and Dalvin Cook to 21 rushing yards. Like that takes a lot of skill and scheme. You know, Richard Sherman and I had asked him the question that elicited this response after the game, where he said, listen, I read and heard in the media that this was a game that was going to decide the next Browns head coach, that it was Saleh versus Kevin Stefanski. Well, I think we know who the next Browns head coach is going to be, or something to that effect. And then, of course, we find out that no, that's not true. And honestly, truth be told, the Browns shouldn't make the decision based off one game. You know, it should be over the totality of someone's career, and certainly over the past season. That said, I think that I 100% agree with you. It is sad that Saleh did not get a head coaching job. It is sad that Eric Bieniemy did not get a head coaching job. These are two extremely well qualified men, guys who in the past 2 to 3 years, especially men with exactly similar resumes or less than also get one of the 32 head coaching jobs. And so that they have not gotten it is very disheartening and disappointing. However, all of those things said, if we're asking for winners and losers, a winner is obviously the San Francisco 49ers because they are a better team with him as a part of that staff.
Well, let's sort of loop that together as a bigger discussion point, because your next winner would be the
Kansas City Chiefs. And it is for the reasons that we just espoused, and similarly to Eric Bieniemy, the offensive coordinator who has overseen still a reigning MVP for the next couple of weeks in Patrick Mahomes, a guy who has overseen an offense that was able to get the Kansas City Chiefs to not one, but two buys, first round buys in the playoffs. This is a fantastic, coach who, no, does he call the plays? No, he does not. Neither did Nagy. Neither did Peterson.
This is a point of Nagy did for a half a season.
For a half a season.
Excuse me.
He was able to do it for a few games.
Andy Reid's offense was stagnating, so he turned it over to Nagy. Just as a point of, and then Nagy peed down his leg in that playoff game against the Titans. Just as a
there
point
you
of,
go. No, and it's important. It's not just a point of reference. It's a correction. You're too nice to say that, but I appreciate that. But Bieniemy has proven that he can work with the best, that he can get probably the most out of the best. And, you know, I have been around him at a number of press conferences. I've spoken to other coaches, and it is disheartening that a guy who, if you have a checklist of things that you absolutely have to have for your next head coach, he checks every box. And yet last year and this year again, he cannot get a head coaching job.
I, as a middle-aged white guy, I feel qualified to say this. If Eric Bieniemy was a middle-aged white guy, he would already have a job as a head coach, or at least more interviews. You look at how long he's been with Andy Reid since, 2013. Okay, he was the running backs coach of the Vikings for 5 years, from 2006 to 2010. He was the OC at Colorado for 2 years, and then he's been with the Chiefs from 2013 to 2019, 5 years as a running back coach and two as the offensive coordinator. Matt Nagy was offensive coordinator for 2 years, or 1 year, excuse me, the official offensive coordinator for 1 year. He was the quarterback's coach. He took over after Doug Peterson became the OC, and then Doug Peterson jumped to Philly. Doug was the OC in Kansas City for 3 years. So I get it. Like, he established himself, and he was worth it. It's just weird that, like, people – like, Doug Peterson took over the Eagles, has been to the playoffs three times, has won a Super Bowl. People can get all – Frank Reich about Doug Peterson, but the dude won a Super Bowl, and he's a ballsy play caller and an inventive guy who's operated with multiple quarterbacks and won a Super Bowl with backup.
Absolutely.
Matt Nagy, maybe people get mad about his inability to run the football or his, wanting to pass a Mitchell Trubisky. The team went 8-8 this year, and that was a down season after they won the division in his first year. He's a good coach. So, like, if Eric Bieniemy was a middle-aged white former quarterback, wouldn't people be flocking to the Chiefs to be like, hey, we got to get the next Peterson, next Nagy? I mean, like, is it the CEO hiring thing? Is it actually a race thing? What do you think?
Well, yeah, I mean, it absolutely is a race thing. Yeah, I mean, it is. And I don't really know how else to put it. It's just, it is everything that you said is absolutely true. And as much as a hypothetical can be true, that Andy Reid is one of the most respected head coaches of the past four decades in the NFL. Right now, who would you put above him? It would be Bill Belichick. And that's really it in terms of respectability for a head coach. Okay, he can't win the big one. All right, that's the knock. Sure, whatever.
If Andy Reid wins the Super Bowl this year, he probably goes down as a top 10 head coach of all time.
He's already, I think, top six in wins.
All he has to do is win one Super Bowl, and he's going to secure, like, that's the only thing holding him back. It's like a golfer with the major thing. I mean, I get
right.
it.
Well, yeah, he's Dan Marino.
Or Philip Rivers, right, sure.
Right. Oh, God, no. But I like Phil. If Eli goes in the Hall of Fame, Philip Rivers better go in the Hall of Fame.
I actually think Philip Rivers is a better comp for Andy Reid than Dan Marino, just because of the late game shenanigans, but that's neither here nor there. We agree.
We do agree. And the point being, of course, if all of this stuff was good enough for a Doug Peterson and it was good enough for a Matt Nagy, and Andy Reid continues to find the best coaching talent out there that can win a Super Bowl, that can get the most out of Mitch Trubisky, that you have to believe that this guy who is getting the most out of Patrick Mahomes, who continues to lead this offense, who helped get a 51-7 run in the divisional round of the playoffs, that this can be a guy that can lead your football team.
Yeah, like you don't want the offensive coordinator for the team that just scored 51 points? Really? Okay, I'd at least talk to him. My last winner, and then we'll take a quick break, the Baltimore Ravens. So, yeah, bad weekend for Baltimore. They got blasted by the Titans. Sometimes teams get on a heater and you just run into trouble and you catch the ultimate kryptonite for your setup, and that's sort of what happened with Baltimore. Bad weekend for them, but because of the way that the hiring cycle worked out and who people were looking at, the Baltimore Ravens, who crafted this perfect ecosystem around Lamar Jackson with a great offensive coordinator, they have Don Martindale there as a defensive coordinator. Neither of those guys got jobs. How is that possible? The Ravens are one of the greatest regular season teams of all time, and nobody stole their coordinators from them. So John Harbaugh, barring a big surprise, is going to come back with Greg Roman and Don Martindale and most of his personnel on both sides of the ball. There is no reason to think the Ravens won't have another opportunity to make a run, except for the fact that they have a running back at quarterback, which Twitter would tell you is the case.
I think once the odds come out for Super Bowl 55, which they will obviously come out in the hour after the end of Super Bowl 54 down in South Florida, mm-hmm. I think that you're going to have right. I think that we're going to have number one, probably the winner of the Super Bowl with the best odds to repeat. And then number two will be the Baltimore Ravens.
I would actually argue that the Ravens will be the
number one, no matter what.
Yeah, because I think that
if the Chiefs win, if the Chiefs win, they would. But yeah, if the quote unquote fluky Titans win, then yeah, I'm with you on the Ravens. But if the Chiefs win, the Chiefs will be number one.
The Ravens will not be more than 5-1. I can promise you that because they're getting all their personnel back and their offensive skill position players are even younger. I was hoping to see. They issued some kind of odds. I was hoping they'd already have them out, but I guess not. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll rip through some losers.
I'm Trey Wingo. And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former Sports Center anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's the butterfly effect for real.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
All right, we heard the winners of the coaching search is Jonathan Jones, JJones9 on Twitter. Watch them on CBS Sports HQ, of course. Let's get to the losers. Who's your big loser in the coaching search?
Oh, number one, it would be the Minnesota Vikings and Kirk Cousins losing Kevin Stefanski. I know we're going to rip through these. Kevin Stefanski,
well,
really,
that's good because actually I have Kirk Cousins as a loser, so we'll just combine those.
We'll combine them and we'll just take it from there. Yeah. Stefanski is a fantastic offensive coordinator. I think that he was deserving of the Browns job. I think that he called a fantastic game against the New Orleans Saints. I think that his personnel was completely and entirely overmatched by the San Francisco 49ers. I believed in what he was trying to do in establishing the run, and they continued to do that throughout the season, running the ball 49.4% of the time. They ran the ball more than the San Francisco 49ers did this past season. They believe the run opens up the pass. They also believe that the pass opens up the run, just like Kyle Shanahan does believe. And so Kirk Cousins losing Kevin Stefanski, Mike Zimmer losing Kevin Stefanski is going to be a big blow. They still have Gary Kubiak, so they're probably still going to be okay, but that's a huge blow to the Vikings.
I could not agree more. Kirk Cousins actually finished with better regular season stats in like volume stats in 2018 than he did in 2019, which sort of surprises me, but I don't think anyone would suggest that he was a better quarterback in 18 than he was in 19. Like in 19, he was just a better quarterback and they used play action a ton. Dalvin Cook was fully healthy. You know, his TD percentage shot up, his interception percentage dropped down. You saw that his yards per attempt rose by a full yard. His adjusted yards per attempt rose 1.4 yards, yards per completion raised 1.6 yards. Insane. His quarterback rating spiked up 8 points. His QBR jumped up a little bit as well. Net yards per attempt up almost a full yard. In other words, he was vastly more efficient because the guy who was in charge of the offense, Kevin Stefanski, believes in analytics and applied that analytical approach to maximizing Kirk Cousins' strengths and minimizing his weaknesses. And it's entirely possible that what ends up happening is you get a case where, you know, Mike Zimmer and this offense, you know, decide to, because I don't think they've hired anybody. Pat Shurmur went to the Broncos, which means they won't be bringing Shurmur back. Pat Shurmur's trying to get his punch card by going to all 32 NFL teams. And, if the Vikings decide to go with an old school Zimmer friendly offensive coordinator, I think it could backfire on them because Kirk Cousins needs certain things in place to really elevate his team. Like, I think he needs everything right around him and the right kind of play calling. So I agree with you completely on that. Who else do you have on the losers?
Got the Panthers as the losers, and not because I dislike the Matt Rhule hiring. I don't dislike it. And honestly, I don't care about the contract because David Tepper can pay whatever he wants to him and suffer those consequences. And of course, the taxpayers will also suffer because the money that goes to Matt Rhule could go to stadium upgrades that he inevitably will shake down the city council for. But as
by the way, related, soccer, I'll need the cash. Thank you.
That's right. That's right. That's said as a Charlotte taxpayer and not a journalist, by the way. But as it relates though to the rest of the organization, Tepper came in and changed the business side completely because they were really in the 20th century when he bought the team, 2 years ago, in terms of a number of things on the business side. Football side, he kept static. He said, I want to get my hands into this and see what's going on. And then I'll decide if I need to make changes. He made changes with Ron Rivera, not saying that was the wrong decision, but allowing Ron Rivera to take so many people from that organization to Washington. Again, we talked earlier about Ryan Vermillion, the head athletic trainer. Rob Rogers worked behind the scenes as that salary cap manager, masseuse. So many agents dealt with Rob Rogers, along with Marty Herney, but like agents who deal with the Carolina Panthers dealt with Rob Rogers as well. And so those are two key pieces, along with any number of other people. You know, Sam Mills, he took the linebackers coach, Steve Russ. And so while Matt Rhule may very well be a program builder, and he's proven it at Temple and at Baylor, he has never proven it in the NFL because he has been in the NFL for 1 year before this. That was almost a decade ago. And then on top of that, I'm just afraid that there's too much to fill in for the Panthers going into 2020.
That's a good point that I hadn't really considered, is because I think Matt Rhule can build the personnel in terms of the players and find players that will work in his system and how he wants to adapt his system to his players, et cetera, et cetera. But it is a vastly different thing having to build out a program in terms of behind the scenes. That helps a lot in terms of maybe keeping Marty Herney. You know, I know that some Panthers fans not fans of Marty Herney. I like Marty, but that transition should be helpful there. I am going to throw out that do we have a crossover here? Because I have Jimmy Haslam. No, we don't have a crossover here. Jimmy Haslam, but I'm sure you agree. Jimmy Haslam is a loser. Because Jimmy yes. Haslam hired a head coach to for those who don't realize it, Jimmy Haslam, as we pointed out on the Kevin Stefanski thing, Jimmy Haslam went all in on analytics, then went like a half measure on it, all in on analytics, then like immediately turned halfway through the process and went all in on football dudes. And let the football dudes use the assets for the nerds. And then he was like, oh crap, this isn't working. So he fired all the football dudes and then he hired a bunch more nerds. And so now the nerds have to make all the guys who the football dudes drafted work in the nerd system. And it's just a total mess. And if you read the reporting on this Kevin Stefanski thing, the Browns, new Browns coaching staff is going to be required to turn over their weekly offensive game plan, to the analytics team, which I'm fine with. They should be talking and all that, but also the owner, Jimmy Haslam, to review by Friday night. This isn't going to work.
It's really bad. And I didn't want anyone to go take this job because it is, yes, it's one of 32, but big money is not always good money. And I made this point on the pregame show on Sunday. It's like, have you ever turned down a job that was for way more money, but you just didn't feel that it was right? So what do? Like for me, when I did that, I went to the bar and I drank. I dealt with the hangover the next day. And I was like, all right, I made the right decision. And I wish that Kevin Stefanski or Robert Saleh or anybody that was up for that position would have been like, whew, boy, is this really worth it? Because I don't think it is.
Maybe we should go on a second date before I decide to lock it up. Who else do you have as a loser?
I have Jason Garrett as a loser. Not only did he lose his job, not only did, you know, he wasn't retained or extended, but the dance, the public dance that was done with him for like a week was, I thought, embarrassing, both for the Cowboys and also for Jason Garrett. But then also because things took so long, it took Jason Garrett out of the mix for anything else, whether, you know, two of the five head coaches that were hired were retreads. No one discussed Jason Garrett as a possible head coach somewhere else. There was, you know, some talk about the Giants, and I never really bought into that. And now, can he be an offensive coordinator somewhere? Should the former head coach of the Dallas Cowboys be an offensive coordinator anywhere? Probably not. He's going to take the year off. He'll probably be working in TV somewhere, make that money, have no problem with that at all. But I still found Jason Garrett to be a loser.
Oh, crap. Is he going to get hired by CBS Sports HQ? And then, like, I'm going to have to look at him knowing that I called him a coward every day for, like, a year and a half? That's definitely happening, isn't it?
Can we scrub me calling him a loser if that happens?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Hey, Jason, I'm like, did I ever write anything about Brady Quinn when I was at AOL? Like, I'm sure I did. It's like, thank you, Internet, for destroying the archives. Like, because, you know, we talked to Brady so much that – and I wouldn't have meant it if I'd known Brady. My last loser, Dave Gettleman, Mr. Computer Folks himself. I actually think that Dave Gettleman went out and made a pretty solid hire in terms of Joe Judge. And I like what Joe Judge said. I don't know anything about Joe Judge other than that his name inspires tons of puns. I do worry, though, that Joe Judge is on a different timeline than Dave Gettleman. Like, is Joe Judge supposed to win this year? Because if he is, then that might be problematic for Dave Gettleman, because if Dave Gettleman doesn't win this year, maybe he gets fired if the team looks like crap again. And it just feels like the Giants are dysfunctional at this point. I think that Dave Gettleman repeatedly, when he does these press conferences, has moved from sort of swaggerific Carolina Dave Gettleman, who like brings this New York accent down to Charlotte and sort of surprises people, to like now he's in his element and like no one is thrown off by his northern folksiness because he's in the north. Like everybody's like, listen, Dave, we're on to you, pal. And so for me, I consider Dave Gettleman a loser. I don't think that this process has been good for him.
It's been a tough process for him. He has not come out of the smell like roses, have to agree.
I agree. Do you have – oh, we got them all. You got the Vikings too. Jason Garrett.
Get them all.
Okay, I've got to run because I have to go do a radio with our friends Adam Gold and Joe Ovius. Podcast – one podcast listener. We don't know if Joe listens. We'll find out. He'll let me know if he hears this. Jonathan Jones at JJones9 on Twitter. Watch him on CBS Sports HQ and on Tops on Sunday mornings. And make sure to check out the Brady Quinn Football Show tomorrow. JJ, talk to you soon, buddy.
Appreciate it.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.